still believes the American dream. His last breath, he'll always be a soldier.
Heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
The National Defense is made possible by Ford. Go further. By The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. By ADT Security. More than just a line in the sand. By VSP. For more information on how VSP can help you with your corrective vision needs, visit their website at VSP.com. By Morgan Stanley. Discover how they can help you reach your long-term financial goals at MorganStanley.com. And by Farmers Insurance. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at Farmers.com.
This is the National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you, the men and women serving in our military. It's for the millions of veterans out there, and it's for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
Hey, this is pretty cool here, Jerry. We've been talking about caregivers a lot on the program because
yes.
Not a lot of attention is focused on a caregiver.
No, and they do a tremendous job and they're overlooked.
It just never stops.
Right.
You know, and Melissa Como is here. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, doing good. And just want to thank you, first of all, for talking about this and what you're doing for caregivers, because you are a caregiver, right?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. So I am a proud Marine Corps spouse and caregiver. My husband, Staff Sergeant Stephen Como, served proudly in the United States Marine Corps for 13 years. He completed completed 5 combat deployments. And upon return from his last deployment as his wife, I noticed some things were different about him.
Mm.
I became a caregiver sort of with the PTSD diagnosis. And from there, we were, going to dig in and solve this and fix this and overcome this diagnosis. And that's what we did. My husband was then transferred to the Wounded Warrior Battalion at Camp Pendleton. And from there, it actually opened the door for a lot of other diagnoses. So what we thought was just PTSD turned out to be a traumatic brain injury and a lot of other physical injuries. He was hiding, ever the Marine. He was not going to show that he had any challenges physically.
No weaknesses.
No weakness, right. Absolutely. So we went through medical retirement and had great care there in Camp Pendleton and switched over to the VA, where we have been, in rehab and recovery ever since.
Wow. And I know there's a book that came out of this that you wrote, right?
Right, I did. So that was sort of my outlet through all of this. I tried to remain really positive and focused and working on the diagnosis my husband was dealing with were really scary at the time. And we were also dealing with some challenges, especially at night, with horrific nightmares that he was having. So I just started writing
that means nobody's sleeping. Right?
No one's sleeping.
Yeah.
So we're having, thrashing in the beds and yelling and, it was bad. So I titled my book Sleeping with the War, because I felt like that really captured the essence of what I felt I was dealing with. And my book is just a collection of poetry. It's all the dark stuff. It's all the bad days. Kind of in this little digest that helped me overcome and keep moving forward and say, yep, there are these bad days, there are these horrible experiences that you can go through in your caregiver journey, but ultimately there's support and hope and all kinds of good things ahead.
So you've been, you've got to be a really strong person. Your husband deployed 5 times, so there's a certain amount of grit that's needed just for that. You're back home and dealing with everything back here while he's over there dealing with all of that. And then he gets home and then you're tasked with taking care of him and helping him through his challenges. So kudos to you for being so strong.
Well, thank you. I never know how to take that as a compliment because I really didn't have a choice.
Well, that's true.
Actually, you did have some choices.
Yeah.
You made a choice that some people wouldn't make. Some people, let's face it, would walk away from all
that's
that.
That's true. Yeah.
So God bless you.
Hey, Melissa, you know, you said something earlier that I think a lot of people kind of feel, especially when you are a strong person, you know, when you got the diagnosis of your husband, you said, we're going to fix this. And I think a lot of people in that position feel the same way, and they get frustrated because sometimes it's not fixable.
Right. So everyone's journey is different. This month is also Mental Health Awareness Month, and May is also Month of the Military Caregiver. So we are trying to bring more awareness to military caregivers and the work that they do. Everyone's journey is different as far as their diagnosis and their treatment options and what the outcomes are going to be. I think a lot of us, especially in the early stages of diagnosis, are like, okay, well, what's the checklist? Like, what programs do we have to go through? What medications? What, you know, therapies are there? And then, you know, you clap your hands and you've done it and you're cured. And unfortunately, with some of these mental health challenges and traumatic brain injury, the recovery is long-term. It can even be lifetime.
Sure.
I don't ever like to, you know, it's not a death sentence. It's not something they're putting on you to, you know, really hold back what you're trying to get out of life. I've seen people with amazing, horrible, awful diagnoses go on to live lovely, fulfilling, purposeful lives. So it's really all in how you're going to take it. There are a lot of setbacks. I always like to describe this journey as a roller coaster. There's highs, there's lows, and it's a whirlwind all at the same time. So you never know what to expect, but having good support and, you know, learning as much as you can about these types of injuries has really been great. So, and helpful to me in my journey.
So as a caregiver, who do you lean on?
I have a fantastic network of peers. I was one of those caregivers who didn't know a single person who was at the Wounded Warrior Battalion. And to be honest, we were very nervous being there. We had always had a great connection to other military families at the fleet and you know, when he was with battalions and things. And when you become injured, and when you are the face of all of the things that can go wrong from combat, sometimes there's a little bit of stigma attached with that. There's a lot of stigma attached with PTSD and TBI in general anyway.
Sure.
And then there's a lot of stigma in identifying as a caregiver. So finding other people that were stuck in this place where maybe they didn't fit in with their other military, you know, friends because of the injury, and, you know, trying to meet people who are going through, you know, the most horrific rehabs and recoveries from their injuries, it's a challenging place to, you know, find where you fit and find other people who have gone through this before you or who are going through it with you. That has been the best support I have gotten, leaning on a caregiver who had gone through it before me, could give me insight as to what to expect, give me resources that could help me on the journey, point me in the right direction as far as benefits and all these options that you have to make and all these decisions that have to happen in medical retirement. So my peer support was actually the best support I got through the whole journey. And it continues to this day.
Well, and that's got to be a fast learning curve, right? I mean, on a lot of that kind of stuff, because you've never seen this stuff before, and so you got to jump right in and do something. And so now, and we're talking to Melissa Como here in the National Defense, and now you're the director of the American Red Cross Military and Veteran Caregiver Network. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I'm very proud of this role and the way that we're providing peer support to military and veteran caregivers of all eras, all injuries, all relationships, and across all locations. We're really reaching out into this community and telling them they're not alone and connecting them with each other so they can share resources, share their lived experiences, and have better health outcomes for themselves as caregivers. And you know what? That trickles down to better health outcomes for their veterans.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a big push, and I'm proud to say Randy and I have been involved in that push to bring acknowledgement and assistance to caregivers. And there's, you know, recently there's been a big push on Congress, to get VA to get with the program and everyone else. Can you tell us, have you noticed any kind of change in the years since you originally started providing care?
Absolutely. So on the active duty side, the DOD has its own system, and there's this thing called SCADL, which is special compensation for activities of daily living. And that really helps caregivers and veterans who are going through the medical retirement process and get through their injuries and things on the DOD side. And then once you medically retire, of course, then you're in with the VA. And I have to say, I got the best care and support from the VA. I was proud to be enrolled in their Comprehensive Assistance for Family Caregivers program. It currently is only available to post 9/11 caregivers, but the big push in Congress is to, of course, expand that to all the caregivers who are caring for our nation's heroes, because they are equally as valid, or you know, equally worthy of this support, which comes with a stipend, it comes with health insurance, it comes with other benefits that are really, really helpful to caregivers on their caregiving journey, as well as they've shown a healthy caregiver actually makes sure the veteran's healthier. They go together. So the VA has been fantastic with that. And I know they offer monthly calls where you can get information. They are trying to get more caregivers involved with the other programs that they have. They have a Building Better Caregivers workshop that you can do through them. They really are trying. I think there needs to be more of a national attention to this. I don't think a lot of, everyday Americans think of the caregiver. They don't necessarily think of the person pushing the wheelchair or the person walking in with all the bags, or maybe the lady who's dispensing the pills or holds all the medical records.
Right. A lot of people don't think about the veterans, so if they're not thinking about the veterans, they're certainly not thinking about the caregivers.
Right.
Absolutely. There's a huge disconnect in that space. But we certainly work very hard to bring awareness to caregivers and try to break the stigma, encouraging people who are offering care to veterans to identify as caregivers so they can meet the resources and the peers and the support that is out there for them.
Well, it's just a tough, that's got to be the toughest job in the world because it's 24/7.
Yeah.
I mean, Melissa, was there ever a time that you said, I can't do this anymore?
Yes. So I would be lying if I said this hasn't come with like great personal challenge as well.
Sure.
I am truly invested in my husband, you know, far beyond what I would consider, you know, the normal marriage vow
right.
in sickness and health. I love this man. I think he's a hero. I would do anything. I wish I could take his injuries for him. There's nothing I wouldn't do to help advance his care and make sure that he was, you know, looked after. And I really feel I'm the best person to do that as his wife. I'm the most invested in our relationship. I'm the most invested in his long-term health, and because I want him around for a long time. He's a great dad. He's a great husband. And we're just going to do everything we can to keep him happy and healthy.
Well, he's a lucky guy.
Yeah, he sure is.
He's a lucky.
With you by his side.
Yeah, absolutely.
He'll get through all of it.
Hey, Melissa, thank you so much. Thank your husband for his service, and thank you for your service. And if you want more information about the Red Cross Military and Veteran Caregiver Network, you can go to redcross.org/caregivers and find out more. Melissa, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
We'll be right back on the National Defense right after this word from Farmers Insurance. When you're dealing with life's ups and downs, it helps to know the ins and outs of insurance. Farmers Insurance has been sharing practical insurance knowledge for more than 89 years. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
How do you thank the millions of men and women who have fought so bravely for our country over the years? At the Home Depot, we think it takes more than words. We believe the best way to show gratitude is to do gratitude. The Home Depot Foundation is committed to veterans and their families, improving their homes and their lives. Since 2011, we've invested $160 million to veteran causes and impacted over 26,000 veteran homes. By 2020, we'll grow that investment to $250 million. From simple wheelchair ramps to complete home makeovers, transitional housing, community support, we consider it a duty and a privilege to serve senior, wounded, and homeless veterans the best ways we know how. After all they've given us, it's the least we could do. $250 million by 2020. Doing more for veterans. Doing gratitude. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and it's time for another Morgan Stanley Money Brief. And Michelle Morrow is a member of the Morgan Stanley Veterans Network and is back with us with a few more tips. Michelle, how are you?
I'm good, Randy. Thanks for having me on again. How are you?
Good. Listen, last week we started a discussion of financial goals by talking about some common financial goals, including college planning, retirement, emergency savings, insurance, planning and budgeting, debt repayment, and buying a home. What's the focus this week?
Well, today and over the next few weeks, we're going to take a deeper dive into each of those common goals and help your listeners prioritize the most important ones first.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem daunting to try to focus on all of those goals at once. Can we start with the three that maybe you should tackle first?
Sure. Although one thing I do want to note is that, you know, this is not a one-size-fits-all approach. There are personal considerations that may impact which ones you want to start with.
Sure.
And this is where having a trusted financial professional to consult is really helpful.
Yeah, I bet.
And so the first financial goal that we all should focus on, frankly, is having a financial plan and a budget. You know, this is your long-term objective and your roadmap to get there. Without it, you risk making financial decisions that are based on, you know, short-term wants or needs, but that are at a huge sacrifice to a long-term goal.
Right.
So to start with a financial goal and creating a budget, the first thing that you need to do is understand where you are right now, right? And that's different for all of us. And then where do you want to be in the future? So if you're just starting out, you know, this could mean that you might have a little less money saved in the bank or in your retirement account, but you also have the benefit of time in that you have more time to save that money and allow it to grow.
And then on the other end.
Exactly. On the other end, maybe you're closing in on retirement and that the light at that end of that tunnel is getting nice and bright.
Right.
So hopefully you do have some assets saved and hopefully you have a financial plan. But if not, now is an even more critical time for you to take stock of your financial picture and, you know, recalibrate your expectations accordingly. So that might mean adjusting when you plan to retire, or it could mean adjusting your lifestyle when you do retire to match the assets that you've managed to save to now.
Yeah. How about a budget?
Well, a budget, I think, is critical, right? Because creating a budget helps you figure out how to allocate your money, all of the money that's coming in every month. Where do you put it? Where do you spend it? How do you save it? And how do you make sure that you're sticking to your long-term financial plan?
Yeah, and I mean, for people that haven't done this, Michelle, what's the best way to start creating your budget?
The best way to start is to just jump in and keep it simple.
Yeah.
This could mean using a very basic spreadsheet database like Excel. First thing you want to do is write down all of the sources of income that you currently receive. For most of us, this could be your salary or the wages that you receive from employment. It could mean it could include a pension if you're, say, retired from the military and you're collecting one. And it could also include income from rental properties. So if, as your listeners moved around, maybe they invested in buying a home,
right,
and now they're renting that out, that's income that you want to make sure that you write down. On the next side, you want to write down all of your expenses, everything that you have to pay on a monthly basis. So that's your utilities, your rent or your mortgage, your fixed debt payments, and your insurance. And then whatever you have left over, this is your discretionary income.
There's this little bitty teeny amount over here. You can do whatever you want, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's a good point. If that's a teeny tiny amount and you don't have a lot of discretionary income, then maybe think about which bills you can lower or eliminate. You know, this is the wants versus needs, right? So you could think about, as an example, reducing your cell phone data plan or adjusting the thermostat, you know, down a few notches.
Right.
Or, you know, your subscription services. In this day and age, how many subscription services do you have between cable, Netflix, Hulu,
right,
et cetera? Do you need all of them?
Yeah.
Because those payments, they add up over time.
Yeah, you look at those at the end of the month and you go, I spent what on what?
Right. And how much did you watch? How much did you use it?
Right. Michelle, thank you so much. We'll be back here next week with the brand new segment of Morgan Stanley Money Brief right here on the National Defense.
This radio program does not provide individually tailored advice. It has been prepared without regard to the individual financial circumstances and objectives of persons who receive it. The strategies discussed may not be suitable for all individuals. Morgan Stanley recommends that individuals independently evaluate particular strategies and encourages them to seek the advice of a financial advisor. The appropriateness of a particular strategy will depend on an individual's circumstances and objectives. Tax laws are complex and subject to change. Morgan Stanley, its affiliates, and Morgan Stanley and Financial Advisors do not provide tax or legal advice and are not fiduciaries under ERISA, the Internal Revenue Code, or otherwise, with respect to the services or activities described herein, except as otherwise provided in writing by Morgan Stanley and or as described at www.morganstanley.com/disclosures/DOL. Individuals are encouraged to consult their tax and legal advisors, A, before establishing a retirement plan or account, and B, regarding any potential tax, ERISA, and related consequences of any investments made under such plan or account. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
This is the National Defense.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. And of course, you know him from such classics as The Godfather, Raging Bull, Taxi Driver, Goodfellas, Cape Fear, and more recently his Silver Linings Playbook, and of course Jack Burns in Meet the Fockers and Little Fockers. Actor Robert De Niro joins us here in the National Defense. Bob, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking the time. Now, I think most of the people know you from Dinner with Don Rickles.
Yeah, okay.
I just watched
I'm glad we were able to do that with him.
Oh, it was great. I just watched that episode. That was great.
Yeah, it was, Don was great.
And you've known him for a long time, right? Since Casino, right?
Yes, since Casino, we knew each other.
That was
good.
And, you know, you've been a little busy here. I mean, the 17th Tribeca Film Festival just wrapped up. I mean, what, 3 million people? How many people at this one?
I don't know if that's a figure they gave you. I would love to be 3 million. I don't know, though. But
Did you ever you started this thing in 2002. Did you ever think it'd get that big?
No. I mean, we just took it moment by moment, year by year, and then things just started. People really enjoyed it, and we had many, many filmmakers wanting to get their movies in the festival. So it was good. Terrific. We're happy about it.
That's incredible. And, you know, who knows how many films and directors and producers that festival has produced over the years?
Yes, there have been. I wish that I could tell you. There are many, and I'm not going to be specific about it, but there are many. When you see certain movies getting awards here and there after the festival, I'd say they've been part of the Tribeca Film Festival originally. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to make you very proud.
Yeah, of course. It's, to me, just to be something that'll be a part of the city, hopefully forever, is a great feeling.
You know, I loved your appearance a few weeks ago on SNL as Robert Mueller with Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
You look like you enjoyed doing that.
Yeah, I did, because... I don't know who the audience is. I don't want to say that make people uncomfortable, but it was up to me. I hope I can do one where I interrogate him, depose him, interview him, whatever you want to call it. And then the next step is I put handcuffs on him, and then the next thing is I lock him up.
Would the term hot poker be involved?
Oh, now what is that, the hot poker?
You know, something with a hot, I don't know, whatever.
Whatever, but, right. Okay.
But you do, you know, talking to Robert De Niro, and you do such a great work. You know, you were in, was it yesterday you were in Philadelphia?
Yes.
With Michelle Obama?
Yes.
For College Signing Day, right?
Yes. That was really a terrific experience. The kids are great. And she's great. I love her. She's wonderful. I wish she would run for president.
She did some dancing, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
did you do any dancing?
No, I didn't. I stood in the back and just sort of, you know, clapped my hands.
Well, I mean, you know, for you to be a part of that deal, have you ever had the occasion to be around a group of veterans?
No, I have, yes. And down in... Tampa many years ago and over in Qatar, the base there.
Sure.
I've been there a few times. I've gone there, yeah. Met a lot of the veteran. They're not veterans. I mean, they're active.
Yeah.
Active, but right. Yeah, a lot of the, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it's amazing. We've had a lot of really big names on this program. Gary Sinise was on, Trace Adkins, Colin Powell we had a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
George Lucas, Jay Leno. And it's so funny, Bob, because despite whatever political, you know, arena you come from or whatever, it seems like this is the one thing that everybody can agree on is to support the men and women who wear the uniform.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, for you to take the time, you know, on a program like this, too, it means so much to the troops. We're also heard on Armed Forces Radio Network. And any kind of message you'd like to give to those men and women?
Well, I just I wish them luck, strength, love, and keep doing what you're doing. And we all thank you so much for what you're doing and for your sacrifice. And I just want it to be always for the right reasons.
Sure.
I want sacrifice with the kids there for the right reasons. It's very, very important. We don't want to put anybody in harm's way for just because of the whim of a politician or this and that.
You know, it's so funny. You're a New Yorker. I would imagine when you're out on the streets of New York, people just talk to you like they know you, right?
Well, you know, I don't get recognized that much, but when I do, or people don't bother, or they wave to me or say hey, or this
sure.
and that, or truck, and I say hey, how you doing? Not usually, yeah.
But everybody's got probably at least 10 Robert De Niro lines ready to go at all times.
Uh huh.
Is that would you say 10 or more?
I don't know. I mean, there are a few, yeah.
Well, listen, Robert De Niro, thank you so much for the time. It means so much to a lot of people, and we really appreciate that.
Okay, well, thank you. Nice to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Nice to talk to you, too.
Best to the troops and everybody.
Thank you. We'll be right back here on the National Defense. And on the phone with me is Jay Leno. Jay.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm real good. I'm real good.
You doing stand-up everywhere still?
Yeah, I'm running around the country. We've been doing some USO shows, and, God, we've been to Afghanistan and Aviano Air Force Base and a bunch of places. So it's fun.
So you, more than a lot of people, understand how important it is to connect with veterans and the deployed folks, right?
Oh, it really is. And also when they get home, too, you know. We've done some motorcycle rides. You know, I like bikes, and Indian does a lot of stuff with the veterans. We've had the, in fact, you know, I just had the Marine One crew over at my garage. That was kind of fun. And, God, we landed a plane on the Stennis. You know, they caught us with the hook. And, you know, just a lot of fun stuff. We flew in the Osprey, and it was great. Everybody was great, you know. And you realize they're all... When I was on the Stennis, there's what 7,500 people on that ship, and the average age was like 19 or 20.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, this whole the Greatest Generation is great, but you know, any generation that serves is a great generation, you know. And it's hard to say one group is better than another, because you really can't, because anybody that, you know, obviously lays down their life for their country,
sure.
you know, there's no more ultimate sacrifice than that.
Hey, Jay, when you talk to these men and women in the armed forces, what kind of things do they talk about?
Well, I'm real old and they're real young. It's hilarious. Because you realize I'm probably wearing jeans that I bought the year they were born.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Right,
and, you know, I mean, now you would literally meet kids that were born at 9/11, you know? And it's amazing. It's amazing. That's the first thing that strikes you, how young it is.
Yeah.
But it's great. And, you know, it's really a lot of fun to see kids that enthusiastic, because you always hear, you know, the snowflakes and, you know, kids today,
sure.
or the iPhone, all that crap, you know. And you realize it's just a lot of talk, because it's every generation likes to complain about the previous ones, you know. But I didn't find that to be the case at all. I mean, when we were in Afghanistan, we were doing a show, and they were shelling the base while we were there. And
wow.
It'd be in the middle of a joke. And I mean, their bombing takes on a whole new meaning when you're
gone. Yeah. We did a thing one time where we flew in with 10,000 White Castle hamburgers into Panama 20 days after Noriega was captured. And
now, was that for the enemy or was that for us?
No, that was our side. That's where I said. You're right. It could have worked either way with White Castle.
Yeah, I don't know what you're trying to do. Yeah. I'll tell you a funny story. I was at White Castle. One day I'm in Chicago, and I'm doing a show, and I come off stage at like 1, and my plane left. I was flying out of there about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. So we're on our way to the airport. We get near the airport. I go, oh, there's a White Castle. Let's just stop and get in. So I go in, and there's a guy lying on the floor. He's got a knife in him, and they've got red tape. I mean, the white.
What?
Not white. I mean, the yellow police crime tape.
Yeah.
And the guy, and we had to walk around him to get our burger. guys, just keep off to the side. We just don't want to, it's a crime scene. We don't want to make it, but okay.
You're right.
Yeah, give me 2 burgers and a fry. You know, it's hilarious. Guy lying on the floor. You know, oh, all right. Welcome to Chicago.
So you hadn't met the new White Castle mascot yet?
No.
Okay, all right. Jay, I saw you. We're based in Kansas City, Missouri. I've seen you a couple of times here in Kansas City, and it's just amazing to me how just every decade, I mean, your comedy just stands up so well, and it's so mass appeal, and I know you get tired of hearing it. It's so clean. It's good. You know, it's just amazing to see, and the intellect that takes to continue that is pretty special.
Well, not really. It's just jokes. But
right. Yeah.
It's a fun way to make a living. And, you know, believe me, it's nowhere near what, you know, these men and women do. So just to even say put it in the same show, it doesn't really seem right. You know, I've got a couple of West Pointers in my family, and my uncle was a lifer in the Army. So, you know, it's pretty cool.
Well, and you talk about these men and women that, you know, are so young. It's amazing now as they transition back. You know, they're coming out of the service, and they're 24, 25, maybe 30, and they've got all this experience, and they have to be so resourceful in every situation. And these companies are looking at them like, why should we hire you? Are you kidding me? I mean, this is the best employee that you're ever going to have. You know.
Well, that's my feeling. I mean, it's always been my experience, you know. But I don't know. You know, you never know what the real reasons are. But,
yeah.
You know, I tell you, it's a lot better now than it was in my day, you know, because I grew up, my brother was in Vietnam. And I know when he came back, it was like, so what do you do? What are you coming home for? You know, I mean,
right.
It was so.
Right.
At least now people have the respect and they thank you for your service. And,
right.
You know, and it's one of the times where it's actually gotten better, you know. I mean, people, whenever there's a veteran thing, I think most people go out of their way to do what they can for them, you know.
Yeah, and the companies are starting to catch on too. You know, now they've got the goals to hire so many veterans by a certain time. Amazon's going to hire 25,000 veterans. You know, Home Depot's committing $500 million. I mean, so there's a lot, you know, they're catching on to the fact that these are great people and great employees. And
right. I mean, that's always been my experience. I mean, obviously, you're going to have, you know, like in any group of people, there's always going to be people that are resentful, it doesn't work
sure.
out, or, you know, there's always, no matter what you do for a living, there's always somebody thinks somebody else owes them something. But I'm sure it's far, far less in the armed forces than it is in the general population, you know.
Man, Jay, I want to thank you for your time today. This is so great to get to catch up with you.
No, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I think you guys tried to contact me. I didn't get the message until last night. And a lot of times, you know, I'm pretty easy to contact. But sometimes if people go, you know, people will call NBC Studios and I don't work there anymore and they leave a message. And by the time I get the message, it's, you know what I'm saying?
Or, yeah.
Like a lot of times I'll get letters from veterans and stuff, but they'll send them to NBC. And I realized the letter is 18 months old by the time I got it. So, you know, you scramble to contact the person because you don't want them to think you ignored it, you know. But
sure.
That's kind of what people think. Oh, I send it to this studio. But I don't work at the studio. You know, the old Tonight Show, as I did, it doesn't even exist anymore. It's in New York now.
Right.
So, consequently, it goes to New York. And then it says, so if anybody, any veteran had tried to contact me and I hadn't answered him yet, I'll try to get to it as soon as I get to it.
You don't have a 1-800 number like Bill Murray?
Bill Murray has a what?
He's got a 1-800 number. That's how he's contacted by agents, by people who want him to do movies.
I don't have anything.
Yeah, you call the 1-800 number and you leave a message and wait for Bill to call you back.
There you go.
Yeah. You got a more direct approach, I think, Jay.
Yeah, call Bill and he'll contact me. Right.
Hey, Jay, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
And thanks for what you're doing for the troops. I really appreciate
that. Well, thank you. Thank them, not me. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Bye-bye. Yep.
We'll be right back with the National Defense right after this word from Farmers Insurance. When you're dealing with life's ups and downs, it helps to know the ins and outs of insurance. Farmers Insurance has been sharing practical insurance knowledge for more than 89 years. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
How do you thank the millions of men and women who have fought so bravely for our country over the years? At the Home Depot, we think it takes more than words. We believe the best way to show gratitude is to do gratitude. The Home Depot Foundation is committed to veterans and their families, improving their homes and their lives. Since 2011, we've invested $160 million to veteran causes and impacted over 26,000 veteran homes. By 2020, we'll grow that investment to $250 million. From simple wheelchair ramps to complete home makeovers, transitional housing, community support, we consider it a duty and a privilege to serve senior, wounded, and homeless veterans the best ways we know how. After all they've given us, it's the least we could do. $250 million by 2020. Doing more for veterans. Doing gratitude. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing.
Home is not just something you can see or touch. Home is a feeling. It's the place where you feel safe to have those little moments that mean everything. At ADT, we believe that feeling should always be there. Whether it's at your house or your business, we help keep you safe so you can have those moments that make you feel at home.
You are loved.
Wherever you are.
All right, welcome to F-150 Radio. Today, the new 2018 Ford F-150. It doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar. Why? Eugene, go.
I think because Ford engineers always add new stuff, so the competition can't catch up.
Whoa, Eugene sounds like an expert.
Well, I got a store that sells exclusively bar-raising merchandise, like a calendar with an extra month.
An extra month?
Extrebuary. It has 32 days.
So you can appreciate the new 2018 F-150 raising the bar with available Bliss with trailer coverage. It monitors your trucks and your trailer's blind spots.
How about our new bar-raising poker chips? You can play with them or eat them.
The new 2018 F-150 raises the bar with auto start stop, standard on all engines, and an available 10-speed transmission.
We have sandals with available built-in socks.
And we are out of time.
Huge in Oregon.
This is the new 2018 Ford F-150. It doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar.
Driver assist features like Bliss are supplemental and do not replace the driver's attention, judgment, and the need to control the vehicle.
50 years ago,
we built up to this war for some time.
When their country was coming apart.
The political climate was just absolutely crazy.
They stuck together.
You just really wanted to do what you could, help win the war and get out of there.
And served a country.
I did a lot of growing up in that 4 years.
That wanted to forget them.
When we become engaged in these wars that are political, we did not learn the lesson of Vietnam.
The time has come.
Today that hurts, because I did lose a couple of friends.
To remember.
You know, war's not easy, war's not kind. You know, it hurts a lot of people.
Remembering Vietnam, a National Archives 50th Anniversary exhibit and initiative. Learn more at archivesfoundation.org.
It's a tough experience.
This is the National Defense.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller right here, and it's time for another episode of Eye Insights from VSP Vision Care. Joining us again, Dr. Robert Meisel here in the program. Dr. Meisel, how are you?
I'm doing great, Randy. Thank you very much.
So, you know, we've talked about in the past few weeks, we've talked about women, we've talked about kids. Let's talk about vision at any age for adults and everybody else. Why is an eye exam important for adults? Because I know myself, I did not actually VSP joining the program reminded me to go get an eye exam. And a lot of times I know with adults, you get busy and if your eyes are working, you don't think you need an eye exam, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I've seen many, many patients who have had the first eye exam maybe in their 40s or 50s.
Yeah.
Just because they've had good vision their whole life and been relatively symptom-free. But my point is that as kids, we typically pay more attention to it. But once we get to be an adult, like you said, life gets busy and you just don't do it. But it is important for health purposes to have a good screening of the eye health, which sometimes reveals problems with your entire body.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until my last eye exam. I didn't realize the number of things that they could pick up through your eye exam.
A lot of times diabetes is diagnosed for the first time right. through visual signs in the retina, hypertension, glaucoma, which is a painless disease when it first starts, can be detected early and treated and therefore not result in any visual loss in later life. But there are many reasons to go in, but it's not just for the part of seeing the chart or being able to drive a car without a restriction.
Yeah, you know, you always hear about glaucoma, and I know at my eye exam, I had no idea that glaucoma, if it's caught early enough, it's a very simple treatment, right?
Yeah, it's just a matter of detection. That's the
sure.
key.
Yeah.
And when it's not detected and it's detected only later, a lot of times there's irreversible damage that has already occurred. But it doesn't affect the central vision. It affects your peripheral vision.
Mm-hmm.
And even in a fairly significantly advanced stage, it still appears to the person to have normal vision. So that's why it's important to have exams for that one screening, but other diseases, as I mentioned before.
Well, and Dr. Meisel, for people who haven't been to the optometrist in a while, what can you expect typically during a comprehensive eye exam?
Well, part of it is visual orientation, whether it's far vision, near vision, coordination of the eyes, peripheral vision. But the other part is the eye health evaluation, which includes all the things that we mentioned, and potentially systemic problems that could be discovered and then referred to the primary care doctor for treatment. So there are many, many reasons, and the exam typically takes 45 to an hour, minutes to an hour, with all the testing and the discussions with the results, pre-testing. So there are a lot of different tests that go into a comprehensive exam.
Yeah, I noticed at my exam at the optometrist, they were also able to, what's that when they make your eyes blurry? What is that?
Well, the dilation, which
the dilation.
Typically is done. Right.
Yeah, they were able to
dilate.
I don't know if it works this way everywhere, but my optometrist dilated my eyes and then let me pick out a set of eyeglasses, and I really couldn't see the prices. So I don't know if that's typical or if that's just my guy. Dr. Meisel, would you remind us, please, of your exciting announcement for, especially for the military and veterans and their families?
Sure. VSP is a vision provider for federal employees through the Federal Dental and Vision Insurance Program. And in January next year, certain retired members, as well as active duty family members, will be offered some vision care coverage. So for more information, go to tricare.benefits.com. That's BENEFEDS.com.
That is exciting. That's good stuff, and that's welcome news to a lot of people. Dr. Meisel will be back here next week with another episode of Eye Insights from VSP Vision Care right here on the National Defense. Thank you, Dr. Meisel.
You're welcome, Randy. Thank you.
By the dawn.
Welcome to F-150 Radio, the new 2018 Ford F-150. It doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar. Dean, go.
I'm all about lowering the bar, like I only brush my teeth on Monday.
The new Ford F-150 lineup raises the bar by being number one in towing, payload, and torque. It can make you more capable.
Capable, shmapable.
The new 2018 Ford F-150. It doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar.
When properly configured, Plus's full-size pickups under 8,500 pounds GVW are based on Ford segmentation.
This is the National Defense.